Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this third day of January 2024. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest. This is his second interview with us. If you want to hear my guest's salvation testimony after this program is over, this live program, you can go to ironsharpensironradio.com and you can type in the search engine in the archive of past programs the name David Zadok, Z-A-D-O-K, and you will see our December 11th, 2023 interview, which included his salvation testimony and also updates on the current conflict between Israel and Hamas at that time. And we will be providing you with some more updates today. But Pastor David Zadok is pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel, and director of Hagefen Publishing, who was born in Israel, lived in Iran, and studied in the United States of America. And today, not only will he be giving, as I already said, some updates on the conflict in the Middle East, he's also going to be getting more detailed on the need for the best in Christian literature in the modern Hebrew language. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor David Zadok.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor for me to be back, and thanks for asking me to join again.
Praise God. It's an honor to have you back. And if you could, remind our listeners, or inform our listeners that did not hear your last interview, about this fine congregation where you pastor, Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel.
Yes, Grace and Truth was actually established in 1976 by our founding pastor, Baruch Mose. I believe you interviewed him, and I'm sure you can, people can find that on the app. We are a Reformed Baptist congregation. At the moment, currently, we are about 160 people. We have Jewish people, we have Russians, Ukrainian, expatriates from Germany, Finland, US. We have the Ethiopians as well, and we even have an Arab Palestinian lady family in our congregation.
Praise God.
I've been an elder in the congregation for about almost 34 years, and I've been pastoring it for about now 14 years.
Well, praise God.
And
anybody who is visiting Israel, or perhaps you even live in Israel, you can find out more about this congregation if you care to visit it, and I hope you do if you're able to. graceandtruth.org.il, an abbreviation for Israel. graceandtruth.org.il. www.ncbi.il. And hopefully we will remember to repeat that information later on. And I'd also like to announce the email address. So if anybody listening does want to submit a question to our guest, Zeva Tzedek, it is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, let's start the program by having you once again give your own personal understanding about the horrific conflict that is taking place between Israel and Hamas, and any updates that you might have since we last spoke about this.
Well, first of all, you know, I just came a couple of hours ago back from near the Lebanon border. I was visiting one of the Reformed churches that is part of the Fellowship of the Reformed Churches. The congregation is in Kiryat Hashmona. It's about a little bit less than a mile and a half from the Lebanon border. And the congregation there is really have been not only serving the community, most of the city has been evacuated, but the people in the church are there with some volunteers, and every day they cook about 400 or 500 meals, and they bring it to various reserve units. So that's what they've been doing since roughly beginning of the war. And I think that while the war obviously continues and probably would continue for at least weeks, if not more, and we still don't know what's going to come out of the situation with Hezbollah and Lebanon and Syria in the north, which is obviously Iran is feeding them, not just for weapons, but also for with other finances and strategies and weapons all the time. But nevertheless, the north is not quiet. You know, sirens there. Most people have been evacuated from the up to about 4 or 5 kilometers. You know, I think that we have to see how the Lord is leading this. We know that despite of the horrific things that we have experienced, especially on 7th of October and since then, and also, obviously, people in Gaza who are the Palestinians, many innocent who are also under the terror of the Hamas. But we know that God is in control and He's ruling. And though we don't always know His will, we have to put our trust in that. So that's the situation. You know, most congregations, like ourselves, have many who are reservists serving from the north to the south. Currently, our congregation, I think we have some 32 soldiers, both in reservists and also in active duty. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for many congregations. But I want to look a little bit on a higher level and to realize that this is not really a war only between Hamas and Israel. This is a spiritual war that we know when it started. It started in Genesis chapter 3. And the end of it, we can find out in the book of Revelation. And in between those two books, the rest of the scripture, there has always been those who wanted to destroy Israel, whether it was the Egyptian, whether later on it was the Philistines, which, by the way, the Palestinians today are not the same group of people, or whether it was Haman in the, that we read about in the book of Esther, and what we read also in the New Testament. So it's a spiritual battle, and I think we need to realize that. And earlier I was just reading some words of tribute to Rabbi Jonathan Zaks, who was the chief rabbi of Britain. And he said something interesting, even though it comes from a Judaistic and Judaism point, but he said the world needs Israel and the Jewish people or Judaism. I would say, you know, we are today in Israel fighting the war, not just for our nation, but for the world, for the whole world. Because it's a war against the evil against the good and the right against the wrong. And I think that's the battle of that each of us as Christians are fighting. First of all, inside our hearts, but also outside. So that's, I think, something that it's important to keep in mind. There is a lot of need. There is a lot of people who are traumatized in the country. There are a lot of people who've been evacuated from the war, from their homes and the safety of their home. And there are many people who kind of feel like the rug has been pulled out of their feet and they are in despair. And we have a great message that we need to bring to our people. And that it is the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace. And in him we have hope. And we are seeing great things happening in our country actually because of war. And it's ironic, but I think if we read carefully the scriptures, we always can see how God uses difficulties and challenges to open the hearts of his people. And I think that both myself and many others, not only in Grace and Truth Congregation, but other churches, the Lord has provided opportunities to share the gospel that were not here before. I mean, I'm in contact with people that I never almost dreamed that I would be in contact and visiting and helping, whether it's you know, high-ranking officers, whether it's different soldiers and units, and whether it's Jewish people that have been scattered. So pray for us and pray for our country, not just for this war, but particularly for the spiritual war, that the Lord would use it to open the hearts and the minds of our people, because we are people who are in darkness and we need the light of Christ and the light of the gospel.
Amen. Now, have you had opportunity to have conversations with Muslims in your area who are opposed to what they witness Hamas doing and who recognize that this would not be taking place, this war would not be taking place if it were not for the terrorist behavior, despicable, satanic, barbaric behavior of Hamas? Or are they all just either remaining silent or defending Hamas?
You know, most of my contacts are with Arab Christians, even though some of them come from a Muslim background, but these are believers. In fact, tomorrow I have a meeting with an Anglican Arab pastor, you know, that is pastoring a small congregation of Arabs, not very far from us. We are actually providing some support for some of the families in his church, that the financial and economical situation has been worsened because of the war. But almost everybody, I mean, certainly the Arab people that I have spoken with, they all do see the evil of the Hamas. And I think they see the danger of Hamas, not just for Israel or, again, what they're doing against Israel, but also, you know, also the Palestinian people in Gaza, that they are also basically prisoners of Hamas. We see some of the things that are happening there when the, you know, food is coming in from UNRWA and other sources for the people, and it's the Hamas terrorists that are looting them. And actually, there was at least one or two cases that they even the Hamas terrorists were shooting the Palestinians in Gaza that they were coming to bring the food, and they basically steal the trucks and they drive them to wherever they are so that they can get their hands on the food and the water and other things, and not their people. So Hamas doesn't care about the Palestinians or their own people, as it just certainly doesn't care about us or anyone else for that matter.
Now, your former pastor, who you already announced earlier in the discussion, I have interviewed Baruch Moos a number of times on this program. In my most recent interview with him, and by the way, if those listening want to hear that conversation as well, type in the search engine M as in Michael, A-O-Z, and that interview will come up. Unfortunately, for some reason that I do not know, there was some technical difficulties during that interview, so be prepared for some choppy audio. I just know that there were jets flying over the residence where Baruch Moos was conducting the interview, and there were bombs that you could hear audibly not very far away exploding from where he was. I have no idea if that was the reason for the less than stellar audio quality, but just be prepared for that. But during that interview, he said that he also, in addition to recognizing and acknowledging and condemning the wicked behavior of Hamas, he did say that he was disappointed in your own leaders of Israel for not more quickly recognizing Palestine as a state. And that is a rare statement that I have heard, very rare, from someone of a conservative background, perhaps even especially a Christian background and Jewish background, who was not on the left, to make such a statement. I was wondering if you were in agreement with that.
Well, I certainly to some degree I am in agreement with them. You know, the thing is that without going to any, you know, biblical prophecies and interpretation of the land and everything else, you know, we live in a tough neighborhood. You know, in the north we have Lebanon and Syria. Behind them we have Iraq and Iran further north. To our east we have Jordan, and to the south, obviously, we have the Gaza and Egypt. And further to the south, we have Saudi Arabia. And, you know, since 1970, for the last 75 years, since 1948, you know, we've fought at least 10 fights, 10 wars, I should say. And I don't know how many operations that lasted for weeks or a month or two. And I think that while we do need to have a very, very strong military, because as one of our prime minister once said, he said that if the Arabs would put their weapon down, there would be peace. If Israel would put their weapons down, it would be destroyed. But nevertheless, in as much as we've been fighting, and you know, we can see the result. I mean, we've been fighting for 3 months this war already, and there's still no results. You know, obviously, there's a lot of the terrorists who have been killed, and a lot of the infrastructure, the weaponry, and the tunnels have been destroyed. But there's a lot more, And I think that while the enemy, they don't want to see us alive or living, they want the whole thing and everything, but we do need to come to some kind of a political solution as well as a military. Again, without going into end times and, you know, if this is part of the end times and anything like that, we do need to live in peace because that's what God wants in so many ways. You know, he is the God of the living, the sanctity of life. And in as much as we can, we should live in peace. So the solution can be partially military. We need to continue to have a strong military and strong presence here. But providing also a solution where a political solution can be helpful, because we cannot continue to control 2 million Gazans in the south and another million and so in the West Bank. So I can definitely can sympathize with what Bo have said.
Alrighty,
and I'm not leftist.
No, I never thought that of either you or Baruch, not even for a second. But we're going to return after this first commercial break. And once again, if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having something custom designed, like an engagement ring, if you are popping the question, or perhaps you're turning your church logo or your parachurch ministry logo or your denomination logo or your seminary logo into a physical piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring or whatever the case may be, RoyalDiadem.com are masters at customizing jewelry. So if you have any intention on buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and by the way, Valentine's Day will be here before you know it, please, as soon as possible, go to RoyalDiadem.com, at least to get the ball rolling on your purchase. And please, also, don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we will be assured of receiving 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I am now back with David Zadok, and he is pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel. And we are getting from him not only an update on what he has witnessed in regard to the conflict between Israel and Hamas there in the Middle East, but also he will be providing us with some more details on Hagefen Publishing and why he believes there is a need for bringing the finest in Christian literature into print in modern Hebrew. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. We do have a question for you from Valerie, California. The listener's name is Edna, and she lives in Valerie, California, and she says, have you experienced your fellow citizens of Israel being angry with you as a Christian for offering prayer and the possibility of forgiveness towards those involved in Hamas who are perpetrating these horrific crimes against humanity? That seems to be something that many people who do not have Christ do when they hear that Christians are praying for the salvation of their enemies.
Well, that's a good question. Thankfully, I have not, even though, my first conversation that I have with non-believers, I try to talk about Christ and present the gospel and not speak so much about the Palestinians. But I do say that, Christ is the Lamb of God who have come to take away the sin of the world, and not the sin, not only the sin of the Jewish people. So I hope that answers the questions. But I haven't had anyone be angry at me for as of now.
And that just may occur eventually, because that is, I think our listener is right, Edna is correct, that people have a very hard time with that. When you say that, for instance, there have been serial killers on death row or who are spending a life sentence who have come to Christ. And when you tell that to people that you think they'll be in heaven, they are very often outraged by that theology that offers eternal life and the extension of the open arms of brotherhood and sisterhood to the worst criminals on the face of the earth. The people just have a hard time wrapping their heads around that. And unfortunately, people, and very often Christians also, are in the wrong thinking when they compare themselves to the worst of humanity as far as having a litmus test of their own righteousness and morality. They compare themselves to the worst of humanity rather than to Christ. So,
yeah, well, I think that, again, it's always important for us to understand really what the meaning of grace is. And I think that the grace of Christ, the grace of God that can save me as a sinner, that grace is large enough, wide enough, and deep enough to save anyone. And I think, you know, I might have mentioned it, I certainly have mentioned it to some close friends that at the beginning of the war, in October 7, for about a few weeks, I had an internal struggle within me. I've served in the Israeli Defense Forces for about almost 18 years, both as a major and as a consultant to the Ministry of Defense. And seeing the videos, hearing and seeing those horrible, horrible acts of barbaric acts, as you mentioned it, you know, in so many ways, I said, you know, we need to just use our Air Force and just clear the whole of Gaza, just bombard them. And to be honest, Israel can do that within a couple of days, can flatten the whole of Gaza. It took me a while, at least a few weeks, to see also the other side. And the other side of me is that I am a Christian, and Christ not only said that he has come for the sick people, because it's the sick people that need a physician, but he also commanded us to love our enemies, to love our friends. It can be easy. I mean, even non-Christians, they love their friends. But what really shows the power of the gospel is really to love our enemies. And I think for us living here in the Middle East, you know, when we have fellowship with our Arab and even Palestinians from the West Bank, Christians, and when people, both our Jewish people and also other Palestinians, they see the unity and the fellowship and the oneness that we have, I think that's one of the greatest testimony of the power of the gospel. And I think that that's something that we ought not to forget wherever we are.
Yes. Being humble enough to extend forgiveness to our enemies is even something that can be difficult for the most seasoned Christian. And I know that, I know that I have great difficulty with that, even with comparatively minor offenses, even among people I would not consider an enemy per se. But forgiveness is just a very difficult, can be a very difficult thing to do. But we are commanded to be ready to forgive those who come to us asking forgiveness, who are repentant. And as a recent guest I had on the program made it beautifully clear, Mark Chansky. I don't know if you're familiar with Mark. He is the, I believe, the coordinator of Reformed Baptist Network. Not only should
OBN.
We...
OBN.
I'm sorry?
OBN.
Yes, RBN, yes. Not only are we to, or are we commanded to forgive those that come to us seeking forgiveness who are repentant, there are many sins that we should overlook. Not serious sins that pose a serious threat to either us or those around us, but there are things that people do that they may not even be aware of. And there are sins in our lives that we need to be ready to overlook. But when it comes to obviously something as horrific and satanic as the war crimes that Hamas is conducting, that would require repentance. Just out of curiosity, just to remind our listeners who may have heard you last time, or to inform our listeners who did not, how close are you geographically to the conflict that is currently brewing?
Well, we are roughly about 40 kilometers from Gaza, which would be, I would say, I think about a little bit less than 30 miles, roughly. About maybe 26, 27 miles. Some years ago, one of the missiles from Gaza landed actually in our street. There were a home that was totally destroyed, and you can see, after so many years, you can still see some of the effect of the shrapnel or some of the walls in our street, not very far from our home. So that's how far or how close we are to Gaza.
And if you could, before we go into the discussion, which will be our primary topic during the second half of the show, which is the need for the best in Christian literature in modern Hebrew, if you have any anecdotal stories that you care to share, folks, this war has been used of God to bring folks closer to Christ, or even perhaps save them, people who weren't even Christians prior to this horrific conflict.
Well, I think one of the things that we are experiencing, as I mentioned earlier, we are in touch with a lot of people that we didn't have any connection with, whether it's by bringing groceries, whether it's by sending some financial help. Actually, about a week ago, I met with the head of one of the large hospitals in Israel. He's the head of the ICU, the intensive care unit. That's where a lot of the soldiers have been flowing in that have been injured, severely injured in there. And I met him because we wanted to offer to some friends some support for them. If we can purchase an equipment that can help or save the lives of some of the soldiers. And I, as I usually do in cases like this, I, introduce myself and I say, I'm a Jewish believer. We believe in the Old and the New Testament. We believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. And for some people, it can be confused. So one of the things that I use, I say, we are like the evangelicals. And so he told me that, I know some of the Jewish believers, Jewish Christian, Messianic Jews in our city. And everything that I know about them, and I assume about you, is very, very positive. And so I had the opportunity just for a very short time to talk about why we do what we are doing, because he said that much of the equipment that we have and much of the support that we have been receiving recently has been from evangelicals. And so I think that has opened a lot of opportunities, that our prayer is that the Lord would use it, the seed, much seed. I should say that there's a lot of seeds that has been sown and continue to be sown. And a lot of people are realizing and recognizing who we are as Jewish Christians, as Jewish believers. And so I can talk about quite a few cases like this. I think since the war, we probably have provided, food packages to at least 1,700, 1,800 families and wow. individuals. And whenever we do that, we make sure that they know who we are. We are not, because there's a lot of great and good people who are doing wonderful things, but it's important for us to let them know who we are and in whose name we are doing it. And that has been a great opportunity. I think in the last month or so, in the last few weeks, I've probably traveled about at least 8,000 miles in just 3 or 4 weeks. And Israel is a small country, as you probably know. So in the States, to do 8,000-9,000 miles in a month, maybe it's not a lot. But here is a lot. I usually do that in about 4 or 5 months. And I'm not the only one, of course. So we've been traveling wide and deep in the country to reach out to the people with the gospel of Christ. And of course, we want to be careful. We don't want to connect the help that we are providing with the gospel as a condition, God forbid. But we do want them to know that we are doing this because of what we have received from God and from Christ. So these are some of the stories. Another story is about 3 weeks ago. I took the staff of our church staff and our publishing, and we went south near the Gaza border to help with one of the farms, because many of the Thai people that have been doing a lot of the farming have left, and many others who are Israelis are actually in the reserve and in the war. So there's a lot of fruits that are hanging on the trees and nobody can pick them up. So they're always looking for volunteers. And so we were there, a group of, I think, 8 of us with many others. And they gave us a section of the trees and they showed us that we need to pick up the fruit, the grapefruit. And, we started working. One of the ladies from the kibbutz was working. But as we were picking up, I had an opportunity to talk to her about who we are, why we are doing this, and so forth. And I think her manager, the guy who was in charge of the whole project, towards the end of the day, he was really impressed by us. He said, when you came, and I thought you would probably fill out maybe about 8 or 9 of these huge boxes with the food, but you did 20. And I have to tell you, we've been doing this for about at least 2 months, and we have never had any group of people that worked so hard and so dedicated. And of course, he knew why, and the lady knew why. In fact, when I told her about our publishing, she said, my daughter is studying linguistics, and maybe you can help her find a job. So our chief editor, actually 2 days ago, was in touch with her, and she wants to meet her. So things like this are happening, and we really want to continue to pray that the Lord would use the seeds and bring the seeds into fruition, and we will see many of our people coming to Christ.
Well, we do have another listener named Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. Susan wants to know, has anyone in your congregation chosen to adopt a kosher diet? Not that the Bible would require that for a Christian, but to be less offensive to any Orthodox Jews in your community, or are the average Jewish families in your community so secularized that that would be not an important issue at all?
Well, I think the answer is kind of in the middle. I don't think we have anyone that has necessarily adopted, but there are some people that that keep kosher in their homes. You know, we don't, but we respect. Sometimes we often have you know, religious or traditional Jews who come to our home, and we always serve them in plastic, and we don't give them anything that it's non-kosher. I think the challenge is that when we talk about kosher, most people, most Israelis certainly, they talk about not the biblical kosher, but really what it's called the Orthodox kosher. And I think there's a big difference between the two.
Yes.
Because much of the kosher law is based on the oral law and not the written law. And I think that that's something we do. I think we want to respect sisters. We don't want to offend them. You know, we don't want to necessarily eat pork right in front of them. You know, as Paul said, you know, said in Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And at the second, on the other side, he said that if meat causes my brother to stumble, I shall not eat meat. I shall not eat meat again. So I think that we need to take those two principles together. We don't want others to restrain or to control our conscience, but at the same time, we don't want to use the liberty that we have in Christ, and we certainly have liberty in Christ, to use it as a license to offend others.
Yes, I've heard that some of the kosher laws or rules that the Orthodox Jews maintain are exaggerations of biblical commands. For instance, I've heard that the reason you will never see a kosher delicatessen or restaurant serving meat with cheese is because of the prohibition of eating a calf boiled in its mother's milk. And they took it all the way to the extreme of boiling a calf in its mother's milk to not even having cheese with meat, which has no necessary connection. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. I think Judaism, what they've done is they built so many fences around the commandments of God that they forget what the commandment is.
In fact, could you pick up?
Just one example.
Could you pick up where you left off there? Because we have to go to our midway break.
Sure.
And we'll pick up right where you left off, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Patafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highly recommend an excellent book that is in stock at solid-ground-books.com. They do not publish it, but they carry it, as they do with some other publishers' works. This is a book by the aforementioned Baruch Mose, the former pastor of Grace and Truth Church, currently located in Knat, Israel, where my guest today is the pastor. Baruch Mose's book, Come Let Us Reason Together, A Friendly Critique of the Messianic Movement, is available at solid-ground-books.com. It was published originally under the title Judaism is Not Jewish. This is the latest title for the same book. And you can get that at solid-ground-books.com. And folks, I'm urging you, please, if you've never purchased any books from solid-ground-books.com before, make today your very first purchase. And if you are a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, I'm asking you, please, to make today your largest purchase ever, because they are in a crisis when it comes to book sales. I'm hoping that many in my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience will come to their rescue and purchase as many books as possible from them, always mentioning that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are one of our most valuable advertisers and have been faithfully supporting this program for years. And we depend upon the finances that they provide for us. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value because they bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, always mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase. Before I return to my guest today, David Zadok, pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel, we have some very important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please, folks, also remember that when you give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I never want anybody in my audience cutting into the finances that you have set aside to give to your own church where you're a member during your Lord's Day worship. Please never give your own church less money than you normally give them in order to bless us with a financial gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. There is two things that the Bible clearly commands in the scriptures when it comes to our finances, is that we are to provide for our church and our family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please, if you love the show, share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we sure could use your advertising dollars. So whatever it is you want to advertise, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a biblically orthodox, Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches like Grace and Truth Congregation and Kanat Israel, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches in all parts of the world, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you are without a church home, no matter where on the globe you live. Send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com. And put "I need a church" in the subject line. I will do my best to find you a biblically sound church near you. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to David Zadok. And our email address, again, is chrisaronson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Right before the break, David, as you may remember, we were talking about how Orthodox Judaism is perpetuating some of the same things that the Pharisees did, in that they exaggerate and go well beyond the God-breathed Hebrew scriptures when it comes to commands that they are to keep. And one of those specific things is the dietary laws. And we were mentioning that you will never see a cheeseburger on the menu at a kosher restaurant or a kosher deli because they forbid the mixing of cheese and meat because of the biblical command in the Old Covenant not to eat a calf boiled in its mother's milk. And that's far removed from a cheeseburger. And also, that would also be the reason that they would never even put cheese on a chicken sandwich or a turkey sandwich, even though you can't boil a chicken or turkey in its mother's milk because they don't produce milk. But anyway, and you had something else you wanted to add to that before we go on to our highlighting Hageffen Publishing and the need for Christian literature in modern Hebrew.
Yes, actually, one of my commanders when I was in the military, he was a religious. I remember very clearly his name, Ronen. And I one time I asked him, I said, listen, I understand why you wouldn't eat, you know, meat and dairy product, but why chicken? I said, well, you know, David, back in those days, there were no refrigerators. So in order not to mistake the red meat with the white meat or chicken, it is forbidden. So that's why we do that. I said, well, but now there is a fridge. Now you know what is chicken and what is turkey and what is beef. He said, yeah, but tradition. I said, okay, tradition.
Now you reminded me of that wonderful song, Tradition, from Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes, a wonderful movie and wonderful book. Very true, by the way.
And now let us enter into the primary theme of the need for the best in Christian literature in the modern Hebrew language. And we also have a listener who is asking a question in regard to that. I was just looking at it. There it is. Zachary in Riverhead, Long Island, New York. Zachary asks, don't most Israelis speak English, and therefore, why would there be a need for literature in modern Hebrew?
Well, that's a great question. Let me start with that. I remember must have been now almost 10 years ago, we have some guests from Holland for dinner. And he told me, he said, you know, David, I've been traveling in Israel, and I realized that many Israelis, I can communicate with them English. So why do you spend so much effort in translating books in Hebrew? I said, you know, it's a great question, just like the listener asked. And I said, tell me one thing, you know, I'm sure your kids, they speak a bit of English. But do they read their Bible or about their faith in English or in Dutch? No, of course in Dutch. So that's my point. I want to make sure that my children and grandchildren and Israeli children, they realize that faith in Christ is not something foreign that they have to read it in a foreign language, but I want them to read it in their mother tongue, in Hebrew. And when they read about their faith in other languages, then it's not their faith. It's not the faith of their fathers. You know, Moses and Abraham and David, they didn't speak English. No, they speak Hebrew. And that's why we publish book. I want to make sure that we realize that our faith is ours. And that kind of brings me to the issue, because, you know, the Israel as a country, and certainly the Hebrew language, both of them are paradox. It's a paradox because what we call the Christian faith, which, by the way, you know, Jesus never came to start a new religion called Christianity, but that's a different issue. I think he came back in order to bring back the faith in the one true God, which back then was Judaism, to where it ought to be, because already at his time at the first century, Judaism has gone so far away from the biblical truth that even the rabbis didn't recognize the Messiah. But, you know, faith in Christ, it started here in the land of Israel. The first disciples were Jewish. All of the authors of the New Testament, maybe except Luke, were Jewish. And about 2,000 years later now, we are in the point that it seemed like, quote-unquote, Christianity is not something that it's rooted among the Jewish people and in the land of Israel. And that's the same thing with the Hebrew language. You know, the Hebrew is probably one of the oldest languages. You know, when Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, was in Hebrew. Not modern Hebrew, of course, but in Hebrew, the same, very similar alphabet that we use today. But again, we come to the point that the Hebrew language and the land of Israel, where everything that we know about Christianity started here and in this language, that there are hardly any Christian books in the Hebrew language. You know, most people don't know that out of the 66 books of the Bible, there are maybe about 15 or 16 books that there are commentaries in them. We still don't have any systematic theology in Hebrew. We still don't have any introduction to the Old or the New Testament in Hebrew. The only commentaries that have been printed has been the ones more or less that we have published. And when we come to that, we understand the need for good, solid reform books to become available in the Hebrew language, not because people can't necessarily read in English, but first of all, just because people can speak English and can communicate English doesn't mean that they can read a theological book in English. But more than that, when I'm reading a book in English, when much of what I know about the gospel and my faith is in English, then when I go to share the gospel with my friend, with my colleague or my schoolmate or my, in the university or wherever I am, when I share it with him in English, then what I'm communicating to him is that, listen, I have this great news for you, but it's not in your language, it's not your mother tongue, but it's in English. So how do you think he would receive that message? So that's part of the, the paradox, that for most people it's difficult to understand. And of course, Israel is an expensive country. We're not as expensive as Japan or Hong Kong, but Israel is an expensive country, and publishing books is expensive. But here is another challenge that we are facing. Some of the great ministries that I know, that we publish some of the books, including Ligonier Ministries in Orlando. Joel Beakey, I think you mentioned it at some point.
Yes, he's my next. Joel Beakey is my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon speaker. If anybody who is a man in ministry leadership wants to attend that, mark your calendars for Thursday, June 6th, 2024. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line, and you'll be registered for free. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I thought that would be a valuable time.
No, I'm glad you mentioned it, because, if I be in the States, in the area, I certainly would love to come to that. We've done a few of his books that we have published, actually about four of his books that we have published in Hebrew. We have a great relationship with the Heritage Reform books. And we've done some of the Pastor John MacArthur's book. We've done his Titus commentary, and also The Gospel According to Jesus from Isaiah 53.
Excellent book.
And yes, and he's a dear friend. In fact, when we published it, I had the honor and the privilege to stand at the Grace Community on Sunday morning and to present it to Pastor John MacArthur some years ago. And it was through that I decided to do my DMin, my Doctorate of Ministry, at the Master's Seminary, which I just finished last May and graduated. But what I was speaking about was the need for books in Hebrew that help people. But a lot of these great ministries that I started to mention, they do have ministries in Spanish, in Arabic, even in Farsi. And part of it is because, you know, when you publish a book in Spanish, you know, your potential market is millions. Same with Arabic and same with Farsi language. But Hebrew, you know, we're talking about that maybe there's some 30,000 Jewish believers in Israel, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less. But if you divide it with the number of households, you can understand that the number or the potential number of people to purchase the book is very small. That's why usually most of the book that we print, unless it's evangelistic book, we print maybe about 300 or 400, which again makes it a bit expensive. But really the price is not the issue, but the issue is that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And I think that we do have a responsibility, well, I have a responsibility to do all I can to make these great English books that are available in other languages, to make it available also in the Hebrew language. One of the great projects, I would say probably our flagship projects that we've done, has been the translation of the Old Testament into modern Hebrew for teenagers and children, which Pastor Baruch Maoz was involved from the beginning of it till the end. In fact, just last week, we finished printing the sixth and the last volume, which is all of the New Testament. So all of the Old and the New Testament today is available in modern Hebrew. And people would ask, so I said, you know, we spent about 15 years translating from Hebrew to Hebrew, but which is, it may sound a bit ironic, but, you know, even when we go back to the time of King David, who wrote many of the great Psalms, we're talking about 3,000 years ago, and language has developed. One example I often give is in English language is a mouse. You know, about 20 years ago, when you used the word mouse, everybody thought about a small animal that was running around. Later on, when you use the word mouse, it was what you hold in your hand to operate your computer. Nowadays, you know, nobody uses mouse anymore. So language develops, and the Hebrew language and the biblical Hebrew has developed much, to the point that most Israelis, when they read the Hebrew Bible, certainly the Old Testament, much of what they read, they can understand. That's why we started the project of translating word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, for all of the Old Testament. And now it has been available. It's now available also as a PDF. We are working on providing it as an app, which should be ready soon. And actually, beginning of this year, which is just a couple of days ago, we started to turning it into an audio book, audio Bible, that we hope to have it ready by the end of the year. So when I speak about the need for the Hebrew Christian books, Christian Reform books, the need is first of all because we need to read good and solid books. And we know that the way that the Reformation spread in the 16th century, again, in God's sovereignty, it came just after the Gutenberg machine, print machine was introduced. And the books of Calvin and the sermons of Luther were spread all over Europe, just like wildfire, because of the printing, but also because of the need. People were hungry to read not just the Bible, but good and solid books. And so that's the reason that we are doing what we are doing. I think, you know, we have done many of the classic books of the past, you know, Sovereignty of God by Arthur Pink, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. We just did also Knowing Christ by Mark Jones. We've done it in Hebrew, Russian, and for the first time we did it also in Arabic. And we are doing, trying to publish books bought by other older reformers that are not with us anymore, but also for the wider reform people that of modern reform people. So we've done some of R.C. Sproul's book. You know, I mentioned Joel Beakey, John MacArthur, Paul Washer. And at the moment, we're in the middle of a big project of doing some of the Legionnaire Connect videos. We have subtitles about 30 videos of the Legionnaire Connect to make that available both for pastors who don't have time to study. And also, we are seeing that a lot of younger generation are coming to faith to various videos and YouTube. And because of that, they're not connected to any church. And so we want to make sure that if they come across some of those teachings that are available, some of those theological videos, they can see not only the place of the scripture, but also the place of the church and the importance of being part, a member of a Bible-believing church that can help them to grow in their faith, and the elders can oversee their growth and to make sure that they are growing in the faith and they are not falling into false teaching. And just because somebody holds a Bible in his hand and uses the name Jesus doesn't mean that what he's teaching is the truth. So we want to use all the means that are available in our modern day, not just the printed book, but also videos, PDFs, ebooks, audiobooks for our people so that they can read and understand the Word of God. And that's our mission. And our mission and our vision has always been to support, the vision of Hageffen Publishing has been to support the churches in their God-given task of evangelism and discipleship. That is the task that Christ has given to the church. And we are coming alongside the churches in Israel in providing them the tools that can they can use to evangelize and to disciple their people.
Praise God.
That's our mission.
Now, has Hageffen Publishing, because you're doing something so unique in Israel, has it been a positive influence to the non-Reformed churches in Israel who are discovering the value of what you are publishing? Because there are even Arminians who love some of the great works by Reformed Christians of the past and present. Has it had a positive effect on any of these churches that may have come to adopt the doctrines of grace as a result, to your knowledge?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, we are not necessarily raising the flag of Calvin or Luther or anyone, we are trying to raise the flag of the biblical teaching. And if we are publishing books only for the Reformed Church, the Reformed Church in Israel, we probably do about, I don't know, about maybe 20 books or print 20 books. But most of our readers, most of our clients are the wider body of Christ. I'm also the chairman of the board of the National Pastors. I have a great relationship with many, many pastors in Israel from different backgrounds, and they know who we are. You know, HaGefen was established in 1974, and so they are dear friends, and they are our clients. You know, we do a lot of cooperation with them, and you know, we are reaching out to them, and they are reading our books. One thing that also it's important to mention, you know, unlike many of other publishers outside of Israel, HaGefen is a non-profit publishing. As I mentioned, we have a very, very small market, so we cannot make any profits from any books that we print. And because of that, what we often do, we also give books free to those who need it, who want it but can't afford it, but also as a means of you know, helping people to see the need and the truth, and then they can read other books that we are publishing. I remember when I became the director of HaGefen some almost 17, 18 years ago, HaGefen used to give books for free. After a very short time, I decided to change that policy because I realized that many of our donors are not people that can easily write a check or send us you know, a few thousand dollars, but many of them give us sacrificially, sometimes $50 or $100. And I felt that it's not right for me to take from someone that is giving us sacrificially and to give it free to anyone. And of course, I know from my own personal experience is that only when I put my hand in my pocket and I buy a book, that I have a tendency to read it, and I love books. But often when a book is given to me free, I somehow value it less. And so we decided to sell our books, but we, at the same time, we decided that we would sell it at a very subsidized price. Some of your listeners might have been in Israel and have eaten a falafel or a shawarma. We have tried to keep the prices of our books at the price of a falafel or a shawarma, and which is sometimes about $5 or $7 more or less, because I figured that if a person can afford to buy a shawarma or a hamburger for himself once in a while, he can afford also buying the books. But at the same time, about 60% of our books are given for free to those who need it. One of the things that we have been doing in the last couple of years is to encourage congregations and donors outside of Israel to buy some of our books or in a quantity of our books so that we can give it free to others. So I can come to people and say, listen, this is a book that somebody thought that it's important for you to have it, and that's why he bought it, so we can give it for you, to give it to you for free, or, you know, just for the shipping cost. And in this way, he values the book more, and it helps us to give those books to those who need it, and to those who we want to encourage them. to read books that they need and they want.
Well, I have a new slogan for Hageffen Publishing. How about, we ain't chopped liver, but we're just as cheap.
The only problem is.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you continue.
No, I was just going to say. I can eat almost everything except liver.
I happen to love liver of all kinds, including chopped liver. But anyway, we have to go to our final break. Send in your questions if you intend to send any right away at chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a Matai in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
And by the way, folks, I want to remind you that you've been hearing the ads for the Historical Bible Society every day for years now. Please do not forget that the Historical Bible Society was founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a very dear friend of mine since the early 1990s, who has been financially supporting not only Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for many years, since its inception, since we first launched in 2005, but also has been financially supporting every event that I participate in and orchestrate and host, such as the debates that I've arranged with Dr. James R. White over the years and Bible conferences and many other things. Daniel P. Buttafuoco is available to help you if you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States. So if you are such a victim, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. That's the website of Buttafuoco and Associates. And please make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you contact them. We are now back with David Zadok, and this is the last segment of our interview with him today. And we have been discussing not only updates on what is going on in the Middle East, the crisis between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, but also we have been discussing the importance of bringing into print the best in Christian literature in the modern Hebrew language. And we have a question from Chesterton in Teresa, New York. And Chesterton says, earlier on in the program, you cited Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." May I quite respectfully disagree with your interpretation of that to mean that our primary audience when evangelizing should be the Jewish people, because there are many of us who don't live anywhere near Jewish people, and therefore that would be an impossible command to keep. Many of us, especially in the Reformed faith, view this as a chronological truth, that the Jews were first to hear the gospel and were the primary members of Christ's church initially, but then when the church began to grow, the Gentiles became more numeric in their membership of the church. Would you consider my view, which is the view of most Reformed people I know, to be anti-Semitic? Because I can assure you I am not. I love the Jewish people and have a passion to evangelize them and see them saved.
Well, I definitely don't think that this is an anti-Semitic comment or understanding. In fact, more than that, I would say that but on the other side, I would say that anyone that tried to kind of curtain the gospel from any group of people for whatever reason is doing the worst crime from my point of view to any people. So the gospel is for everyone. I think that when Jesus talked about that, he did say not only, I mean, in Romans, but he did say that he has come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And later on, in the Romans, in Romans 19 and 11, Paul does talk about the importance of bringing the gospel to the Jewish people. Well, obviously, if I live in an area that there is not Jewish people, doesn't mean that I'm not keeping that commandment. But I do have a responsibility to help bring the gospel to the Jewish people. I mean, Paul in Romans 9 talks about that everything that we have has come from the Jewish people. And at the end of that, those three chapters, he does talk about, that, and in this way, all Israel shall be saved. So it's not the matter of necessarily priority or not priority, but it's the matter of that God has promised that a day would come. And I think that our eschatological view shouldn't impact the way we interpret Romans 9, 10, and 11, that God's promises for the salvation of the Jewish people are still solid. In fact, he says the gifts of God are irrevocable. And so Jewish evangelism, I often say that Jewish evangelism is the best investment because we know that it would bring the fruit. And the promise that is given to the Jewish people has not been given to any other group of people. So that's how I would respond to that.
Yes, and I don't know if our listener Chesterton was speaking hypothetically about not being anywhere near too many Jewish people or any Jewish people, but I know that upstate New York is thriving with Jewish communities. In fact, the term the Borscht Belt comes from the summer vacation spots in upstate New York, like Sullivan County and so on, where Jews for over a century have frequented and enjoyed spending their summers and enjoy food and music and comedians and so on.
And our prayers can reach out to any Jewish people, whether they are in our neighborhood or they live a few thousand miles from us. We can always pray for the salvation of the Jewish people.
Amen. Well, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
I think the last thing I say, one of my hopes and one of my wishes for the coming year, since we are at the first week of this new year, is to publish a book about the Puritans. We have never done, there is nothing in Hebrew available from any of the Puritans.
Wow.
One of the great books that I'm considering is Following God's Folly, which was written by our dear friend Joel Beakey and Michael Reeves, who was also my professor. And that's the book that we hope that we can publish it in this coming year, or hopefully next year, as soon as we work on our finances for that. But that should be hopefully the first Puritan book that is published in the Hebrew language. We've done Matthew Henry, we've done Spurgeon, but I'd like to have something about who the Puritans were as well.
Amen, because I know that the Puritans, at least many of them, had a great love for the Jewish people and even wanted to create a safe haven for them in England, as far as I know. But
we have the book, The Puritan Hope.
Yes, that was obviously a modern book.
Yes.
And by Ian Murray, correct?
Ian Murray.
Yes. And for any more information on Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel, go to graceandtruth.org.il. graceandtruth.org.il. And the website for HaGefen Publishing is hagefen.org.il. Thank you so much, David, for being such a wonderful guest once again. I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. And I want everybody listening to always remember that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.